For a look at the week in rural news, Kath McAlone joins us. Kath, one of the biggest stories really of this week has been the passing through the Senate of new rules around foreign investment.
The Greens struck a deal with the government to increase scrutiny of foreign investment in farms and agribusinesses. So the Foreign Investment Review Board will now soon have power to review the sale of farmland over $15 million to foreign buyers, as well as scrutinise all agribusiness sales above $53 million. It's a big scaling down. It was around $250 million. So a lot more projects are now expected to come under that scrutiny. And the deal comes, of course, as the government faces some criticism for knocking back that foreign bid for the pastoral company S. Kidman & Co. that we saw last week, while also supporting the leasing of the Port of Darwin by a Chinese company. So there's some concern that the government's sort of sending mixed messages at the moment about whether Australia is or isn't open to foreign investment. And an investment advisor is predicting that international companies that want to buy Australian farmland could in fact be scared off by these changes to the Foreign Investment Review Board threshold for scrutiny. Charlie Blomfield is from a group called Agricultural Management Company, and he helps companies that, you know, want to make an investment in Australian farmland. He believes the changes could create uncertainty. He says they could restrict competition and they could potentially delay investment projects.
They still can invest here. It's a process, and many of those investors will take the time to understand and follow that process. However, there will no doubt be some that choose to invest elsewhere in the world. There are many other options. Australia is not the only place that can service growing middle-class populations.
Many states were bracing for a fairly horrific day in fire conditions on Wednesday, and South Australia was unfortunately the state with the worst damage this week.
South Australian farmers have been devastated by that deadly blaze that swept through the mid-north of the state, and there's been reports of significant crop, machinery and livestock losses. It follows, of course, the week prior we had that huge fire in Western Australia. In the South Australian fire, a large piggery and a chicken farm were in the path of the blaze. And the state's grain producers estimate that about 60,000 hectares of unharvested crops have been destroyed in the fire. It comes at a time when there is a lot of concern about increased fire threat in Australia, but it also comes as a survey reveals that many Australian properties are underinsured in the event of fire. Dr. Kate Booth is from the University of Tasmania, and she's been looking into this area. She says some work that she's done has found that about 20% of Australians aren't even insured against disasters, and of those that are insured, about a quarter of them have insufficient cover.
Affordability is certainly an issue, but there's also some evidence of different types of people where affordability isn't an issue, but factors such as mistrust and uncertainty regarding payouts if a home was damaged or destroyed by fire certainly seems to be a significant issue.
We've been talking about the drought in Queensland, well, for a couple of years now, and the statistics on that drought keep getting worse.
Yeah, we're now up to 86% of the state being officially drought declared, which is massive when you think about just how huge Queensland is. This week, the Queensland government added seven more northern council areas to the list of drought-affected regions. And having that declaration means that farmers in those council areas can access assistance like subsidies on freight and fodder and water. The state agriculture minister, Bill Byrne, says that the ongoing dry is deeply hurting primary production in the state.
To see areas such as Townsville and the Burdekin now drought declared, I think sends a bit of a signal just how severe this drought is. It's no longer the Western Queensland, Northwestern Queensland, Southwest. This is coming onto the coast. This is coming to areas of traditionally very high rainfall, areas that rely on high rainfall for much of its agricultural production.
Consumers are being warned that they may miss out on a Christmas dinner tradition this year, with the price of lobsters, or they're also called crayfish, soaring on the, and this is on the back of export demand coming out of China. So a South Australian lobster retailer, Andrew Laurie from Robe in southeast South Australia, says at the moment he's exporting nearly all of the catch that comes in, and he says local sales are becoming virtually impossible.
At the price, they've just got no hope. They can't vote with any other way than their feet and not buy. We're just hoping that this Christmas the price doesn't go too high, then people will just not buy lobster for Christmas. They'll find an alternative.
Can I just say I'm enjoying the run of Christmas stories, because from lobster we're leaping to cherries.
So while it might be bad news for lobster lovers, people that enjoy cherries at Christmas time are in for some good news, with the cherry harvest in Australia now in full swing and a record crop is expected. Cherries are grown in every Australian state, and Simon Bowie from the growers group Cherry Growers Australia says overall the harvest this year is expected to be more than 15,000 tonnes of fruit, and he says that's a really good sign for the expanding cherry industry.
Demand for the cherry fruit, not only domestically but also at an international level, seems to be ramped up in the last 3 to 4 years. We grow cherries in 15 or 20 different regions, so you can expect some different variations, but the outlook's pretty good right around the country.
I've noticed with interest in Europe in particular, there's been quite a strong campaign about urging consumers to buy ugly fruit and vegetables. Some of that's catching on here in Australia.
When pears start hitting the shelves a little later in summer and in autumn, shoppers will be asked to lower their expectations about the quality of the fruit. And that's because there's been two hailstorms that have decimated pear crops in Victoria's Goulburn Valley region. That region grows more than 80% of Australia's pears. The industry is now asking supermarkets to support a rather creative marketing campaign that it's come up with to sell these fruit, which it's calling the Hailstorm Heroes campaign, which they're hoping will sell some of the slightly damaged fruit. It's the brainchild of Olivia Tate of Apple and Pear Australia, and she wants to give the damaged fruit its very own identity.
I came up with two initially, which was Battler Pear. He's the great survivor, and you know, I've been through the worst of it. Some of the others didn't make it, but I survived. And a few little nicks and marks shouldn't deter customers. And the other one was Guru Pear, and Guru Pear is always all about the beauty lies within, so don't be put off by the aesthetics.
Oh, but can you then eat it if you're eating Battler Pear? Or just sort of have it as an ornament?
Yeah.
I love it. Great strategy. Thanks, Kath.
Thanks, Edwina.
Kath McAloon with the week's rural news. All those stories are online, and all our latest breaking news at abc.net.au/rural.